Thank you, ladies. Thank you, choir. What great singing. Thankful for our great God. He sent His Son to Calvary's cross. Before I get in the message, I want to share a couple of verses. Our church this year, of course, we've been together 30 years as we've started. And I've sort of always had a verse that I felt like was the wind in our sails, the gas in our tank. It's found in Galatians 6 and 10. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Then I want to give you a verse today in Romans 15, verse number 1. The Lord showed me this verse yesterday morning. I think it goes right along with, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. The church in Romans 15, 10, young families, I want you to listen to this and watch this verse. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. So we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. There'll be a day and an hour when you'll need somebody to help you. I'm thankful I'm in a church this morning that has the strong right hand of God. Reach people in this community and around this nation. There's a family that came up and hugged my neck shortly ago. It does my heart good to see them here. This young man had one of the greatest granddaddies that ever walked through this country. His name was Brother Monroe Wiggins. How many people ever heard of that name? I think he did over 2,000 funerals. He really touched me. I admired that man. And Brother Mike, when I've been around men like that, it makes me want to hold true to this book. Stay close to God. Love the church. Love my family. James was writing in the book of James. He had something to say that has really touched my heart. I want you to look at it. The book of James, chapter number 4. And I want you to stand with me this morning. We're going to read a portion of Scripture through verse number 10. James 4, 1 through 10. James was a very strong pastor. There's nothing wrong with a pastor being strong as long as he has compassion. Nothing wrong with hard preaching as long as a man loves people. America is not in trouble today because of hard preaching. America's in trouble because of lack of hard preaching. Never get upset with your preacher if he's reading out of the King James Bible, because he didn't write the Bible, he's just reading out of the Bible. A man must have the right spirit to preach in. Very important. Here today in James 4, James says, he opposes a question. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Isn't that amazing? You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. I'm guilty.
Amen.
I'm guilty. God, I want you to answer my prayer this way. God, I need this, but I come to tell you today, God knows what we all need this morning. Then he says some hard word. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? What burdens my heart as a New Testament pastor is to see how many churches have turned to the world for entertainment to draw a crowd. Young people, you don't need entertainment. You need preaching. You need the presence of God moving about your family. We need an altar that's still open because we have a God that's still available. So he says the world is enmity with God. You can't walk with the world and walk with God because they're going in separate directions. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But I like this, but he giveth more grace. Yes, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Now verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You may be seated this morning. Father, it is a blessing to be gathered together at your house with your people. God, with your word and your songs and your spirit, we're thankful. Today, God, our nation is in trouble. There's no hope in a man, but we need you in America. We need you in our church, our lives, our home. Help us now to stay true to your word a few moments this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on a simple subject this morning, simply on draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. We can never hope for God's favor while we prefer to remain at a distance from Him. We can never hope for His favor while we prefer to remain at a distance from Him. And here, James is addressing this situation about distance from God. Notice, first of all, there's a distance that separates. It says, draw nigh to God. He's talking to saved people. You may be here this morning, you've never been saved by the grace of God. There's not a better day than today. Amen. To give your heart and life to Jesus. For everybody that comes to Jesus can get to God, for He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus. So the distance that separates, you know, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. I want to say, first of all, we're capable of distance. There's not a person here on the sound of my voice that's not capable of having distance between us and God. So distance is capable. But yet distance is cautioned. Enoch walked with God. And all of a sudden the Bible said, and God took him. It was closer to God's house than it was to Enoch's house. As Enoch was walking with God, there was no distance between him and God. That's what we need in our lives. That's what we need in our nation, to be walking close to the Lord. We see simply this distance that separates. Distance is capable. Distance is caution. How many times has trouble come in my life because I'd allowed distance get between me and the Lord? When I allow distance to get between me and the Lord, then things that are a priority cease to be a priority. Oh, how we need a close walk with the Lord. There's no doubt this is one of the greatest churches in this nation. I'm the pastor, and I just don't say that because I'm its pastor. I know the people, I know the workings, I know the Spirit of God, I know the hearts of many people. But oh, how we need to draw nigh to God in these last days. You see, distance is capable. We're all capable of having distance. Distance is caution. Then distance is calculated. How far can we get from God? Distance is carnal. A man must keep himself under subjection. A man must keep himself upon the cross to crucify this flesh, because we get so carnal in our fleshly activities. When God saved us, He told us to come out from the world and be ye separate. We're not to be mean to anybody. We're to act different than the world. We can be in the world, but not of the world. We ought to think different than the world. What's going on in America today is worldly thinking. The church ought to be different. We ought to be different. So this distance that separates, distance is capable, distance is caution. Distance is calculated. How far can we get from God? It's carnal, but it's very concerning. If there's anything in my life, I want a closer walk with the Lord. The distance that separates. How does a person become distant from God? We know the day that we're saved, God comes and lives in us by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed to the day of redemption. We have eternal life. But yet what I'm speaking of this morning is not relationship, but it's fellowship. I'm glad in the family, and I want my fellowship to be right with the Lord. How do we become so distant? We get distracted. We get distracted in things of life. A lot of times we want to please ourselves instead of really wanting to please the Lord and really what He wants in our life. Isn't it so easy to get distracted? And we live in a culture. 30 years ago, when I started pastoring a handful of people here, times were not as busy. It was busy enough. But now, 30 years later, we live in a culture where we're so busy. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. So we get distracted in life. We get to chasing the whirlwind. We get to chasing things that is so fleshly. And there's nothing wrong with having goals and desires. I have goals and desires. I love enjoying life and having a good time. But if I'm not careful, I will let my priorities slip away. And I find myself with distance between me and God. It's a bad feeling. James says there's a distance that separates, but secondly, there's a desire that seeks. A desire that seeks. Aren't you glad that God gave us a scripture? Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. In this Bible culture, they would come in before the temple. They would wash their hands before worship, showing that their outer parts were clean. But He has something to say not only about the hands, but He talks about the heart. For the heart is where a man believes. A heart is where the seat of our emotions come from. Our hearts must be pure and right with God. He says, cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't walk with the world and walk with God. The desire that seeks. I'm glad I found this in my Bible. So let me ask y'all this question. I have responsibilities here to preach every week and many times several other nights through the week. I have something sort of that I have to make myself study and apply myself. But it's no different than you and me, because we're all human. And if we're not careful, we get so sidetracked and distracted, and we leave off the Word of God out of our life. We let our altars rust over. We don't pray anymore. We're just enjoying the blessings and the goodness of God. But yet God has blessed us not to take us from Him, but to draw us to Him. I find myself getting distant at times. And sometimes I have to have a talk with Ken. Ken, what are you thinking? Ken, you've got distracted. Get in the book. Get on your knees. And close the distance. Can I tell you that this Bible will close the distance this morning? Can I tell you prayer will close the distance? Coming to church regularly will close the distance. We need each other and we need the church. My life does. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And so there's a desire that is seeking, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that amazing? If we'll just do our part to draw near to God, then He responds by closing the distance. There's nothing like laying down, going to bed with peace with Jesus. There's nothing like getting up with peace with Jesus. Desire that seeks. I want to say, first of all, seek God fervently. Hebrews 11, one of the greatest books that's in our Bible, the book of Hebrews. Turn to the left with me just a moment. Chapter number 11, verse number 6. Seek God fervently about the desire that seeks. He simply said this in Hebrews 11. Verse number 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Seek God fervently. Hebrews 4:14, seek God faithfully. Turn to the left in your Bible. Hebrews 4. Seek Him faithfully. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, talking to the saved people, that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, not let them, let us, the church, God's people, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad God is available this morning. So we see the desire that seeks. We seek God fervently. We seek God faithfully. Daniel 6, he sought God frequently. Daniel heard the writing. You heard it in Sunday school hour. There was a law that was passed that they could not pray to the God that we know. But it didn't matter to Daniel, because he prayed frequently. The Bible said he opened up the windows and he prayed 3 times a day with the windows open. Oh my goodness, a desire that seeks. Seek God fervently, seek God faithfully, seek God frequently. And lastly, seek God thanklessly. In Luke 18, verse number 1, a familiar text. Here we have a teaching in the Scripture about praying. It's a parable. He said he spake a parable to them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge that feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterward. He said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." The Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bared along with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Young people, it does pay to serve God. Families, it does pay to serve God. In your hour, when you need God, in your home, at your highest peak, you need God. I'm glad he's available this morning. He's available to America. America has shook her fist in the face of God. She's flown flags at what God says an abomination. They put them over the White House of America. We killed millions of babies. God's word's still right. And there's still a Savior that loves us. Died for us. Preacher, it's July 4th. Aren't you preaching a national message? Sure am. This book works in Bowdoin to Washington. The assembly's going to come. I've asked her to sing an invitation song. But I'm going to give you this last thought. You listen to this, and you listen to this real good. I found it so in my life. The desire that seeks. About seeking God fervently and faithfully and frequently. Listen to this little quote. It speaks volumes to me. Praying will make us leave sinning. Or sinning will make us leave praying. The distance that separates. The desire that seeks. Lastly, the development that satisfies. First of all, verse 7, Satan will remove. He's a real devil. But he come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he is. And he's real good at it. He's touched my life, your home, my home. No respecter of person to the devil. He's went after a nation full force. Our young people has more vices against them today than any hour that we've ever lived. A development that satisfies, Satan will remove. He says this, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." You know, whatever I do, I can't blame it on the devil. I've got to blame it on me. The devil tempts us. But the Bible says in every temptation, he gives us a way of escape. God, help me to choose the way of escape. Because I'm no match for the devil. But I come to tell you this at 10 minutes to 12. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Resolve the distance. Get close. Come up to him. He loves you. If you've never been saved, it'd be a good morning. Come give your heart to Jesus. You that are struggling need help. You going to sit there in your pride and say, "Not me"? Or are you going to get honest with God and say, "God, I need you to help me in my life"? Miss Emily, you sang. Open this altar. Whatever you need this morning, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Would you come this morning? Don't know what you need. Satan will remove, your spirit will refresh, and your strength will renew. I'm glad there's a God who knows our situation. Would you come this morning?
I love you, Lord.
Would you come?
I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in the darkest night. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father.
Yeah,
I've known you as a
friend.
And I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Never.
And all my
never
days,
fails.
I've been held in your hand from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Noticed in my life some things that also keep me at a distance from God is people. forgiveness goes against our nature. It's God's nature. And he says this to the church of Colossae. Paul said, one of the greatest men ever lived behind Christ is what he said. And he spoke to me years ago, forbearing one another. That's putting up with. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Brother Mike, there's a man years ago took advantage of me and you. Hurt me deeply. God used that trial in my life to adjust me probably as much as anything's ever happened. But it hurt me deep when he stole a bunch of it. Boy, but I allowed him to come between me and God. And until I forgave him out of my heart. And Brother Philip, I felt the Lord respond and move closer. I don't want nothing between me and God. And I don't want nothing between me and you. What you see here is what you get. I can't put on a show. I appreciate you being here this morning. Brother Philip, I love you. Appreciate your family. Boy, God's been so good. Baby, sing one more verse. Stand up, turn around, tell somebody you love them. We're going to dismiss here this morning. Won't you turn around, be good to somebody. You sang, hon. Stand to your feet.